Today we will look at the Easter story from the Gospel of Luke. All four Gospels in the New Testament give us different details, different perspective, a different approach, but all four have one thing in common. They all focus on the resurrection of Jesus. They all deal with that as its central point. The Gospel of Luke I like in particular because it was written by Luke, who was very careful in what he wrote. He was a physician. He was an educated man. He was a learned person who researched from the accounts of others, though he wasn't there. This was written in the first century, and so he took into account from the early church the stories of the early Christians and the resurrection. He was careful in that he was not Jewish. He was Gentile, meaning non-Jewish. And so he wrote from a Gentile's perspective. He didn't use the churchy language of the Jews of the Old Testament. He spoke in plain terms. And so from Luke, we have from the 24th chapter, this account of the resurrection. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? For he is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered. They remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When the two men spoke to the women, they said, "Remember." I want all of us here this day to remember being in church on Easter's past, being with those who told us at first about what Jesus lived for, his death and resurrection. The first time you felt the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. And maybe that's been a while back, and maybe it's been a while since you've been in church. Or maybe it's been a while since you felt the presence of God. As with the words of those two, remember, let us pray. Loving God, I pray that your Spirit would be here as we celebrate the risen Christ. Let us know that the risen Christ means that you are present, you are real, and you are ready to be in relationship with us. Be with us this day to receive, each one of us. Be with us to that we might receive whatever you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the day we celebrate. I love listening to the choir as they sing those songs of resurrection. I love being in the church with the Easter lilies and our new Easter banner that's up that reminds us that Jesus is risen. It is indeed a day of celebration. It is for me a reminder that the resurrection means that Christ is with us in our daily walk. I remember the story of a little boy who was walking with his father, and you could picture that, the little boy and his father, and his arm was straight up, and his father, as he walked, extended his finger, and the little boy held on to his dad's finger, and they would walk to the park. On one day, the walk seemed a little bit long, and the little boy grew tired, and he looked up at his dad. He said, "Dad, let's change that. Instead of my holding your finger, how about you hold mine and make the walk that much easier?" For us as the people of God, as we begin to be sensitive to the presence of God, we realize that some of our faith story is God reaching out to us and holding us up. And sometimes it's us reaching out to God, saying, "Lord, I need you to help me stand and help me to walk." We talk about how he lives, and he lives within our heart. Josh McDowell is a Christian author and apologist who says this about his faith experience. And I draw on this because when the two men spoke to the women, they said, "Why do you look for him among the dead?" They witness his death. They witness his beating. They witness his trial. And they witness where he was laid to rest. After the Passover, when they could, they took their spices and went to the tomb. And there they were prepared to care for the body with those expensive spices. And when they got there, they were perplexed. And the angel said to them, "He is not here. Why do you look for him among the dead?" And so Josh McDowell in that story says this, and I remember this because it fit in this story for me. Josh McDowell went to college, and thinking like so many of us, when you go to school or learn a trade, you think you come to that point of your life when it's time to learn the meaning of life. And Josh thought, well, that's what college was about, where we learn the meaning of life. Josh decided he was going to discover that. In taking his classes, he looked at the various disciplines and was intrigued by some and not so much by others. He thought he would try religion. He went to a couple churches and didn't find much there for him. He tried campus politics and got involved in various things on campus and just didn't find any purpose in those. And one day on campus, he saw a group of students engaged in a Bible study. A little annoyed that they were doing a Bible study out there in the open, sitting on the grass, but drawn to them for this reason. They seemed to be happy. And one of the girls in particular, maybe because she was cute, he experienced her radiance. And he said, "There's something about her, that this radiance." And so after the Bible study broke up, he walked up to this girl. And he said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry. I saw you out there, and I assumed you were having a Bible study. What is it about you? You just seem to radiate happiness." And she looked at him in the eye and she smiled. And she said, "The reason for my joy is Jesus Christ." Now, Josh had been to church. He had tried religion. It didn't seem to work for him. And he said, oh, come on now. I've tried religion. That doesn't work for me. And at that point, she looked at him right in the eye again. And she said, I didn't say religion. I said Jesus Christ. The Lord who lives, who lived in her, was seen by him in his quest for purpose. Pastor Sandy this morning at our sunrise service shared a story that I want to take. And Pastor Sandy has started a new communion service in one of our retirement communities here close by the church. And there was a woman who just out of the blue in her 70s, had never been to church, never knew much about God or anything. And she decided she was being drawn to Christ because of the example of other women who lived in the same building. Nobody was pushy and nobody was witnessing to her. Nobody was telling her about Jesus. It's just how they lived. One of them at breakfast pulled out a devotion and had a devotional reading. Another with kind words, another with their actions. And this woman felt that all of this experience was drawing her towards Jesus. On one occasion when I was there, she came up to me and she said, I've never had communion. May I have communion? And I shared that story with you before. And to Sandy, she said, I've never been baptized. And Sandy had the privilege of baptizing her with those friends who had made a difference in her life, unknowingly, just how they lived. And they were Catholic and they were Methodist and they were Lutheran and I forget all the others. Baptist also, Baptist. And she came to experience Christ. And this is what Pastor Sandy said. On the day that she was baptized, she was radiant. She was radiant, as in the story from Josh McDowell. And what I submit to you is people, though we are imperfect, when we encounter the Christ of Easter, when we experience Jesus as he lived and what he lived and died for, then the words of that hymn that we just sang are so true. He lives within my heart, and I know he lives because he lives in me. So back to our story. The women were at the tomb. They spoke to the angels, and they ran back to tell the rest. And when the men heard the story, they didn't take the women seriously. And as Sandy pointed out earlier, those silly guys missed out on such a blessing because they didn't take the women seriously. The women were there from the very beginning. They were there at the crucifixion. They were there when the men all went off and were hiding. There is something to be learned from this about the equality of people. Peter rose to his feet. Now, Peter ran to the tomb. And what we know about Peter is that he's not an example of a shining Christian person. Peter was a coward. Peter was embarrassing in that he was so unfaithful and afraid. You remember that Peter, for those of you who know the Bible, you'll remember Peter was always the first one to speak. Jesus would say something. He was the first one who had an opinion. Do you know people like that? Peter didn't think it through. He just reacted. That was Peter. The first to speak, the first to react, and maybe the last to think. He runs to the tomb, finds no body, and is amazed, and just walks home. But there's something about Peter. Though he was weak, like many of us are weak, Christ made him strong. And Peter, remember this. Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times in my hour of most need. You will deny me." And Peter said, "Oh no, to the death I'll stand by you, to the death we'll be together." And on that night that Jesus was arrested and being prepared for trial, when he was mocked and beaten, Peter three times denied that he knew Jesus. The setting was different. It's one thing when you're sitting with Jesus in a study. It's another thing when mean people have taken Jesus and they're holding him and beating him, and that maybe you, by association, might be next. You know him, don't you? No, I don't know him. No, wait. You were with him. I don't know him. Jesus said, "When the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times by then." And the rooster crowed. Peter had every reason to be living out his shame. He had abandoned Jesus. He had abandoned faith. He had every reason to not even be with the disciples. But when the word came, he ran to the tomb. And what do we know about Peter? Jesus said to him, because of statements that he had of faith, Jesus said to him, "Peter, on that kind of faith, I will build my church, and you shall be called the Rock." If God can take a coward, a shameful coward, one who abandoned Jesus, and based on a little bit of faith, say to him, "On your faith, I will build a church," then God can use us. I submit to you that the risen Lord, who changed Peter's life, can change ours as well. On Peter, the church was built. And through the centuries, Christianity spread. The word about Jesus, the building of churches and faith. And because of the resurrection, our world was never the same. This week on the 15th of April, I, like you, and like hundreds of millions of people around the world, saw that news of the cathedral in Paris, France, Notre Dame, burning. And as we stop and think about that, what does that represent? That cathedral was built 858 years ago. It took 200 years to build it. It wasn't just a church. It was a symbol of civilization. It was a symbol of the development of Paris itself and France. They calculate that some of the wood in that cathedral represented over time in the construction of that building 13,000 oak trees. 13,000 oak trees used to build that magnificent cathedral. Built 858 years ago, they were estimating that some of those mighty oaks may have been little saplings, even as far as long ago as 1,000 years, a millennium. The burning of the building was significant. And I, as I saw that, I mourned. But you know what I know? I know that the risen Christ remains in the heart of the people who worship there. And though on this Sunday they can't worship there, they are worshiping elsewhere. For on this day that we enjoy our beautiful building, there are those who don't have a building, but they have the same risen Christ that we do. I read about the eruption of Mount St. Helens, and let me tie this in for you. The eruption of Mount St. Helens, the volcanic activity was so intensely hot that there were places that the very soil on the ground burned and evaporated and was no longer present after that volcanic eruption. There was only stone and ash. The naturalist who studied there wondered about some of those areas, if it would ever recover and how long it would take. And they had been amazed initially when they saw patches of flowers, wildflowers, and ferns. And the very first ones they saw upon examination were in the shape of elk or other wildlife, that in the loss of their lives, their bodies provided the regeneration and the growth of the first plants to come in. The cathedral at Notre Dame, the wood burnt, it caved in, but many of the things were saved, and the stone structure remained. Mount St. Helens can give us that indication that if things are burnt down to stone, there is still hope. The mountain has come back. The people have Jesus in their hearts. We have the resurrected Lord in our hearts. Let me close with this. Some of you have heard me say that in China, where there were many Christians and many Christian churches prior to the communist takeover, that on the advent of the communist takeover, what they did was they closed all the churches. With the new government, it was illegal to be Christian, and every church in China was closed. Until, for public relations purposes, and I think it was prior to the visit in China of President Nixon, that the Chinese government decided, as a show of good faith, to allow the churches to be open. And when they opened the churches in China, after years and years and years of being closed, those churches were packed full, kind of like an Easter Sunday. For you see, the Christian community in China was not dependent upon their buildings, but because of the Christ in their heart, the presence of the Spirit of God, the fellowship of believers, the support of one another, and the rich history that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead, laid a foundation that in communist China, the church flourished. And in our lives, and in our communities, and in our families, the same can be true. I want to close with a prayer for those in Paris. Let us pray. Loving God, for those in Paris, those who would have normally worshiped at Notre Dame, we pray that your spirit of joy will be in their hearts in spite of their circumstances, that the joy of the resurrection, like we experience here, will be something that they experience there. And for people all around the world, many of whom, many are denied the privilege of being in church, Yet we know that your Spirit is alive and that he lives and that he lives in our hearts. And our lives, our worlds can be empowered because of that. Be in France and let hundreds of millions who watched, let them know that that church will continue because of faith, because of your presence. And Lord, we ask you to help them as they endeavor to rebuild. Be with us, Lord. Let us remember that life might bring us volcanoes, but there will always be the seeds of new growth and new beginnings because of our Lord and Savior in our hearts. Amen.